what I try and do is help people help themselves. And there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect and distraction, if you will, for people to really go internal and figure out what do they want? What are their goals? What do they need? What's going to inspire them to move? Because there is a big factor of having a chemical makeup in your body that is going to allow you to have the proper energy and drive to exercise and to eat properly. And that's what I guide people towards achieving and discovering for themselves, because it is such an individual thing. What works for you, Patrick, is not going to work for Jane in Ohio or Mary in Detroit.
This is Living As You. Here's your host, PQ.
Hey guys, this is Patrick at Living As You. Today we have a real special guest, someone that's been a great friend, mentor, and role model for me these last 4 years. Craig Ramsey has been a fitness trainer, a Bravo entertainer, a ballet dancer, and so much more in the 40 plus years he has been on this earth. The founder of fitness companies Fit From Bed, Fit Plus Fab, Stretch, A Reason to Whine, Craig has shared his gifts all over the world and is currently helping his clients take their fitness to a whole nother level. He's an author of 2 books, a current TV star, and internationally known as the fitness entertainer. I've worked with Craig for the last 4 years and have personally seen my own physical and mental health transform because of his holistic approach and compassion when working with each and every client. Craig brings an incredibly unique and authentic perspective to every exercise, idea, and passion he shares with the world, and embodies living authentically as himself, as well as anyone I have ever met. I'm so excited to have Craig on the podcast and to share his story with you. Hey, welcome to Living As You. Welcome to the podcast officially.
Oh, that's wonderful. Huge congratulations to you.
It is so good to have you. How are you and Brandon doing? We haven't caught up in a little while.
We're good. Yeah, we haven't caught up, but it's basically the same pandemic life. You know, we're trying to hang in there. We're taking care of our mental health, our physical health, and people around us and doing our part. So we're good.
That's amazing. Well, again, I'm so grateful to have you here today with us, Craig. It's been a crazy last couple months. As you know, as we've been talking and everything, things have been absolute wild. And so I just appreciate you taking some time to join me today. Craig, I thought we'd begin by diving into some of the remarkable roles that you have embodied and this world has been blessed to see in you. You've been a hockey player, a contortionist, a ballet dancer, Broadway performer, a fitness trainer, a Bravo entertainer, literally everything, Craig. You've done it all. With all the roles you've undertaken thus far, how did you get into the fitness industry? You're currently changing lives on the international level and have worked with more people in the fitness industry than I know. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. I am my age, so I've been around much longer than you. So I've had the opportunity to do a lot of great things. And there's much more to come, of course. And the path that I've been on, I'm just so fortunate that my parents were allowed me to be me from an early age, which was a rambunctious, entertaining class clown that still respected other people. And from there, I was always an entertainer from a kid onward. And I took my entertainment background of Broadway and TV and such because I always cared for people's health and wellness and my own. There was about a decade of overlapping performing with learning about the body, the mechanics, everything physical and chemical that would go into improving people's lives. And then when I felt confident in that, I switched from the entertainment industry into fitness. You're young, so you weren't around for the Richard Simmons era and when Jane Fonda and Suzanne Summers and people that were entertainers and entertained people. And I will tell you this much, and they're mentors of mine, because Richard Simmons for instance, has helped more people internationally across this whole world lose weight than any trainer. And I'll go as far to say as a more than a collective unit of all gym trainers together. By just simply inspiring people to move and by making it fun, which I think we lost our way for many decades. And you, especially with your age group, all of this pressure to just have a six pack and to do the most kick-ass militant workouts and such. And I simply am not that. My fitness programming is smart and it's effective and efficient and it will get you your results, but it's going to be fun as well.
And I love that, Craig, because I feel like our society right now, like you just said, is so into, it's all about the looks, it's all about the social media, it's all about what can you put out there to make you look better than anyone else. And so how do you help people, whether it's maybe young people like me or just general clients that you're working with, kind of really push that societal narrative away and just embrace, like you said, fitness is about making you feel better and honestly be more in tune with the universe and the earth. How do you help people kind of retrain their brain into thinking?
Well, hopefully you know this firsthand because we've been working together with your fitness and wellness for a long time as well. And then what I try and do is help people help themselves. And there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect and distraction, if you will, for people to really go internal and figure out what do they want? What are their goals? What do they need? What's going to inspire them to move? Because there is a big factor of having a chemical makeup in your body that is going to allow you to have the proper energy and drive to exercise and to eat properly. And that's what I guide people towards achieving and discovering for themselves, because it is such an individual thing. What works for you, Patrick, is not gonna work for Jane in Ohio or Mary in Detroit. And that's why I think it's really great to be one-on-one with people. And if what I do on social media and on TV, because if people don't know, I brought in my TV or my fitness expertise to Bravo, to other networks and on social media and YouTube. And what I do is I offer fitness programming that's going to be very manageable and with a lot of altercations and like modifications to give programming that is for a broad spectrum of people. But then the true motivation needs to happen one-on-one, I feel.
I absolutely love that. I think like you've said, Craig, the more we just as a society focus in on how, yes, we can have that kind of blanket of eating healthy or exercising generally is going to impact people in the same way, hopefully more positive, but we are all so different and more information is coming out every single day, like you alluded to, whether it's even with the virus or how it's affecting people or just, we are all so unique in our makeup. And I think, like you said, that completely affects how we literally exist on a day-to-day basis and how our fitness and our bodies work. Something, yes. I wanted to ask you about, which I just, Craig, you've inspired me more than probably any person in general that I've ever worked with in terms of fitness, because of the way you look at the body in a holistic manner. And for people who don't know kind of what you're so internationally famous for is basically looking at people's lives and saying, okay, you think you're a little too busy to exercise today or do any fitness? Well, what movements, what things are you already doing? You're driving a car. You're probably sitting at your computer. You're maybe washing windows. You're maybe taking a walk. Craig, you are famous for, there are videos out there everywhere of you sitting in cars on your bed doing push-up. Like, can you go into that? How did that start? And it's just remarkable.
I move my body as a dancer and contortionist in many Broadway shows. I know how to move from A to B, almost like parkour without the aggression, if you will, and the danger. So I know how to move it with a consciousness of fitness and exercise. So transferring that over, I think passing that to people and that kind, putting that in their consciousness that yes, you could be going through a drive-through car wash and there's no reason why when your window shields are being washed that you can't wash your abs with the same movement back and forth. And as ridiculous as it is, and it makes people laugh, it also changes their relationship and stress levels to the idea of exercise. So then they're like, oh, well, I'm pumping gas at the gas station. I can pump my legs and do some dancer kickbacks or raise up on my calves when I'm waiting in line for the bathroom. And those kind of that kind of consciousness is so important for me to deliver to people in a humorous way, because it's what I call undercover fitness. It's a way of delivering the message of being aware of your body and how it moves, which is a workout all in itself. If the general public understood that they can exercise, I can sit here sitting on the stool and clench my booty cheeks. And in doing that, I can exhaust that large muscle group, which boosts my metabolism and will change my relationship with food. So everyone has the power, regardless of obstacle in your life, to engage in physical activity. And it doesn't have to be Barry's Bootcamp or Orange Theory or any of those, which I love for some people, but it's not for everyone. But movement is, and you deserve to have that.
Because that gives the power to each person. You don't have to be Craig Ramsey and have been on Broadway and be on Bravo and a world renowned to be able to achieve phenomenal health in whatever way that you want. Craig, I'm going to ask if you would dive into a little bit your time on Broadway and as a ballet dancer, because I think when you first were telling me about that last fall, when we had that wonderful conversation, you mentioned how so many people looked at you when you had that goal. And I think you really talked about joining Broadway as one of the ultimate goals. Initially, you were so focused on that. And a lot of people said, oh, that's impossible. You're a fitness trainer, bodybuilder, you've been on Bravo. Now you want to go out like Broadway as a ballet dancer. Can you talk about that? And especially what gave you the courage and the confidence to attack that dream or goal of yours and ultimately achieve it? Something that so many people would have given up day one because it, quote, seemed impossible.
Yeah, I grew up in a very small town, Harrow, Ontario, Canada. And although I was so lucky to have a lot of support by my parents and community, I still refused to have small town mentality, in the sense that I didn't want to not have any experiences outside of that. And luckily for me, I had the confidence to back that up. I mean, it wasn't without obstacle, let me tell you, but setting manifestations was really important to me early on. And let me tell you, the biggest obstacle was it triggers people and their lack thereof, and that abundance is limited. So for me to be in school and day one of a university program and say, well, no, I'm going to end up on Broadway. Yeah, that's why I'm here. And that confidence, I think, triggered people, and it was met with such resistance, and it brought up their issues of insecurity that I, of course, had insecurity. We all do on all aspects of our life. But for me to be an actor and wanting to dance and wanting to sing, why shouldn't I set my goals at the very highest? What's the worst that will happen? I don't get there and I stay where I am. Okay, great. But if I don't do that and I don't put that out there, it's never, the universe is never going to align that pathway for me to do it. And luckily it did. And it did numerous times. And I continue to be fortunate with that, but I also have to do the work in setting my manifestations and getting to know me and challenge myself to be better and to expand past what my bubble is.
I think you hit on this amazingly, Craig. I think something not many people realize, and I've only begun to discern and to figure this out myself, is the whole idea of manifestation and the whole idea of asking the universe, or literally retraining, reprogramming your brain to believe in something that hasn't yet happened, but that you can see it. And I just listened to a great Tim Ferriss episode the other day with Hugh Jackman. I don't know if you're a Tim Ferriss fan or Hugh Jackman. And one thing I've started to do, and I'd love to hear if you do a similar practice every day, is one of the first things I'll do when I wake up in the morning, I'll get out of bed, do some prayer, do some meditation, and I'll open up my journal. And something I've just started doing actually in the past week is writing down what I'm grateful for, but with the perspective of I've completed the day already. And I'm looking back on the day to say, man, what was I grateful for? And so, for example, when I woke up this morning, like I visualized myself going to bed tonight, July 29th, looking back on the day and saying, hey, what was I grateful for that day? Whether it was a wonderful conversation with Craig Ramsey, whether it was a great walk with my brother Michael. And I've seen, even in just a week of doing that so far, the power of manifestation and how you ultimately manifest things in your life that other people might say is impossible, like you. So are there specific things you've done or currently are doing in your life through meditation or maybe a gratitude journal, or I call it the Hugh Jackman manifestation thing I do every morning, that you do that has helped you continually manifest?
Patrick, you're such an enlightened being, and I really do admire you for that. I'm caught up in an industry that is still so obsessed about the physique and the physical and all of that. So I do have my struggles with that. And I learn from all of my clients, and I'm open to learning. So even that right in itself is something that I would like to do. So I will do what you just advised for people to do. And I encourage them to do it as well. So I'll tell you this much. I don't want to give the impression that I don't have a pendulum that swings both ways. And people look at me and they're like, oh, you got such a great body and you have everything together. Well, no, I'm going through a pandemic like everyone else. So I've had my nights at 2 a.m., wake up panics, 3, 4, midlife crisis I feel like I'm a little too young to go through. Like, am I on the right path? All of these worries and these pressures on my shoulder. And it's more about focusing on how to get out of that mood than even I'm not as advanced as you to wake up in already that spirit and with that journal and things like that. So what I do is I connect with my breath. Again, because I'm a trainer and I'm physical and a singer and all of that, I'll relax my jaw, relaxes the neck. I'll let my belly go soft, even though we're told to tighten it up and get a six pack. You know, I'll let my diaphragm work and I'll connect with my breath. Once I connect with my breath and I calm myself down and I'm feeding my body oxygen, I'll go into a place of being, as you said, grateful and really just setting my goals again. And like, what do I want? And what kind of influence can I have in society by being in a positive place and putting that out there? So I try and shift myself, if you will, into a space of calmness and relaxation and not getting in my head about self-judging. As soon as I recognize that I'm self-judging, it kind of evaporates, if you will. And then I'm left with a being that is open for the day, that is willing to learn, that is willing to allow the universe to align what is going to be good for me and for society and my place in society.
I think it's been about 4 years now. I've had the great gift of working with you. You've helped me so much with all my hip problems, my back struggles, my food issues, like my stomach. Like, Craig, you have been on my team since day one, and I can't thank you enough for you've changed my life. So I just real quick, well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Patrick, listen, I've had a message and you've had the journey. So what you have done, and I'm glad that you have this outlet to talk to people. Your journey is so much more appealing than even my message, because again, my message is direct for you, but the fact that you have overcome a lot and you've challenged yourself and you're so young to have gone through all this stuff. Thank you for having this platform and reaching people. And I encourage them to reach, like to share this with other people and especially young people. And you can teach an old dog new tricks. Let me tell you, I've learned a lot from you. So thank you.
Craig, you are so wonderful. Hey, I'm learning from you every single day. But one thing I want to touch on today so much is because I bet a lot of people who are listening, they've worked with trainers before, they've worked with, and one thing as I was preparing for this podcast, I kept looking at all these incredible roles that you currently have and you currently have had in the past. I kept telling myself, well, like, Craig is not one of these. He is not just a Broadway dancer. He is just not just a husband. He is not a fitness trainer. And so when people say, oh, who is Craig Ramsey? I'm very hesitant to say, oh, Craig's just a fitness trainer, because you are not, we are each not a specific label in society. And so I'd love for you to touch upon that. But one thing that has been very, very apparent to me in the 4 years that we've been lucky enough to work together, and I've been lucky enough to learn from you, Craig, is the way that you look at the human body and each human individual and soul in terms of with that holistic holistic perspective and with that energy healing and with the way you align yourself and help other people who might not be spiritual or religious align themselves with the earth a little bit more. Where did that come from? I think that is one of your secret sauces in the realm of fitness, that you bring one of those things that makes Craig Ramsey rare and valuable to not only his clients, but literally everyone you touch every day. And you've changed my life in that way. And I would love to hear your story and why you bring that in. Where did that come from, Craig?
Well, with this question, you started with trying to identify me. And I can tell you, whenever I get asked like, oh, what are you doing? Or what do you do? I'm always taking a 1 to 2 minute pause. And I'm like, I don't know, which is a slight embarrassment, to be honest. But I guess where my career is simply being of service to try and motivate people to take care of themselves in any way they can. And that's why I wouldn't say that I'm a gym trainer. I wouldn't say I'm just a fitness expert. I wouldn't say I'm an author or performer or any of this. And I did reality TV, as you know. And when I signed up for that, I had to decide to be vulnerable and be myself. And I am certainly not perfect, but I think that's what separates me as a fitness expert, is being vulnerable. Like even my relationship, the mistakes I've made in my relationship, and the challenges, like I said, I wake up in a panic sometimes. I could destroy a Vegas buffet, like better than any of my clients if need be. And there's times where I do that. With that in mind, I think what's appealing about my messages is that I can reel it in for myself. And I have enough intuition with people, because it's not like I'm just the gym whisperer that is gifted all of, life's answers. It's not. I take some of my past and I'm able to analyze someone by that, but also I'm able to tap into them. And regardless of people being spiritual or not or connected, we talked about this, but like spirit guides and such, I can't identify where all that comes from. I don't know if it's mine, yours, my clients, or universal consciousness, but I can tell you that if I come at it from a place of no ego, I seem to be able to tap into what people need in their lives that will build a foundation for them to take care of themselves and the people around them better. So that's what I cherish as my gift. And I have yet to be able to label that. So I have no idea, honestly, what I am.
And when you think about kind of each person's relationship with the world or the earth or the universe, like, mm-hmm. I guess, Craig, I'm curious, how do you view that? Because again, so many people, I think it's in societies in general, whether it's politics, whether it's fitness, whether it's even medicine, like people, it's so easy to get into the linear approach, A plus B equals C. I've only been on this earth for 22 years. I know nothing. My life, like A plus B does not equal C. That is not how life works. And I think a lot of people think, man, if you just do curls this amount of time, you're going to get C. And I think you've shown me that for sure there's that secret sauce, that formula for each person in terms of that uniqueness and individual. But at the end of the day, like when you allow someone to connect themselves greater with the universe or the earth, they achieve things, whether it's a fitness standpoint, a food, that I don't think they can even imagine. So I'd love to hear more of your just thoughts behind that.
I've always had the mentality of I want people to be able to walk away with one session from me changed and hopefully enlightened and on a path. That's why I don't stand next to a treadmill 5 times a week with someone and just fitness program them. And I think there's a certain amount of shock value in what I deliver. Like even nowadays, as we all know, the political climate, especially in the U.S., is really harsh. They're the divided states of America. And it's tough for me to reach out to all parties, and I'm simply not going to. But what I do for the people that are gravitating towards me and listening to my messages is I think I dive in pretty deep right off the bat. And I there's a certain amount of shocking people. Like if I say, oh, what is the hang up that you have? You know, what is your relationship to food? Like I ask the questions that are going to get people to dig up their baggage, if you will, all the luggage, the emotional baggage and luggage they have that is stopping them from believing they can achieve greatness in physique and health, and what's stopping them from putting it into motion. Because as you know, it goes hand in hand, nutrition. We're in this human body and we have to balance it to enjoy it. So I figure out people's vices too. And as we talked about, I train a lot of the housewives and celebrities and people, and the majority of those entitled people, and I say that in the most kind, loving way,
of course,
is they say, I'm not giving up my wine. And people love a glass or two of wine a night. So I'm like, great, guess what? You're going to stretch with it. And I'm going to give stretch a reason to wine for you. And every time that they drink wine, I get texts all the time from people saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe I found myself stretching when I enjoyed a glass of wine with a group of people. And they're like, what are you doing? Or underneath the table, when, remember the times when we used to be able to go out for dinner? Well, you know, when we used to be able to do that, they would do a figure four stretch and they'd be stretching their glutes and sipping wine. So for me, it's about finding those vices, digging in deep and letting people have the permission, giving them permission to achieve greatness and ownership of athleticism, of their body, their physique. Because we've all been beaten down at some point in time or another with not getting on the sports team or not doing well in gym class or being told we're fat or not, you know, not being chosen on a class team. And we just got to heal those in order for people to take ownership of their own body, and they deserve that.
Please go into what is this stretch, a reason to whine, fit from bed, fit plus fat. You have all of these projects that are literally transforming fitness. But for our listeners that have no idea, wow, that sounds kind of cool. Stretch a reason why? Fit from bed?
Right.
Like, get me into that. Can you just talk about that?
Being in the world of reality TV, I'm kind of forced into pop culture, even if I don't want to be. So I'm familiar with what is hot out there and what is appealing to the masses. So I think I always pay attention to that. And I'm like, okay, how can I deliver this with fitness that is going to help people gain confidence and get their body and their program together? And like, for instance, RuPaul's Drag Race, which is a big hit. And at the height of that, I was like, you know what, they're so entertaining and a lot of them are fit. And I wonder if I could incorporate them. So I created Workouts of Drag, which was literally drag queens in a live big, and I had huge group classes that would be off to the side in a ball gown performing for you, and had a spray bottle, like a cat that gets in trouble and you want to spray it down. If someone wasn't doing their best workout, giving their most, or they were giving sass, whatever, the drag queen would spray them down. And it was so ridiculously fun that it worked, and it made people laugh, and they loved the group environment of fitness. They left all of their issues and baggage at the door. And the same thing with stretch and wine. It's like wine consumption, especially during the pandemic, is up 80% in America. And that kind of scares me, to be honest, because I don't promote people to go overindulgent with any of that. And that's the whole point, is moderation with me. That's why I said, if you're going to enjoy a glass or two of wine, you're going to stretch and you're going to be more flexible and you're going to be conscious of your body and fitness and wellness during that. So that class is many years old, and I have doctor's approval that a glass or two of wine incredibly helps break down the muscle fibers and the stretching and all of that process. But I took it to social media to offer it every Wednesday night for free for people from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. PST, because it makes it fun, and I'm telling, it gives me a chance to tell people, you know what, reel it in. If you're going to sip and enjoy this, we're going to do it in sections. So we're going to sip, we're going to taste and actually be conscious of what we're doing. And then we're going to do a stretch section that perfectly pairs with that, with the tasting. So yeah, I love to entertain. I love to bring that into my fitness. And I have found to date that for the majority of people out there, it's something that they really do need. One workout of me yelling at you is fine and dandy, but a lifetime of workouts that have us laughing together is key for success.
Everyone comes from different backgrounds with fitness, with their relationship with their body, with their relationship with food.
Yeah.
You're taking something and you're saying, why don't we flip the whole narrative? That's it. To me, that's what you've done with whether it's celebrities or high school tennis players. Okay, this is where you're at. Here are some of your passions. Let's just dive in there.
It's 100% true, because listen, it's society and it's media and marketing that has made us feel guilty for not being the best tennis player or having a six pack while doing it. Or if you're obese, you're lazy and your life is a loss. Like all of those things that are absolutely ridiculous. But when I have someone that has some extra weight on their body and they come to me and I analyze the situation and I'm like, well, you're moving, you know, you might have difficulty with some of the movements and stuff, but the fact that you're already starting off with so much strength and stamina from carrying this for yay amount of years, your glutes, your thighs, you have to understand the amount of strength that you have far exceeds what I'm capable of doing in the gym. And I expect that from you. That's what we're going to bring from day one, is that you're stronger than me. You have more capability of achieving greatness than me. And I can't wait to see your body when you're done and finished, because it's going to be inspiring to me. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm in a good place. And I said, you're in a fabulous place. This is going to be great. And the majority of people are, unless you, I can't even say that. I can't say if someone's recovering, like my grandma had a heart attack last year. She is still in physical therapy for it. She is in a wellness center. She has fluid on her lungs, or on her heart, I should say, which compromises her lungs. But you know what? Where she is and her outlook on things, she is doing incredibly well. And that is motivating. And what I do is I scale back the program to be appropriately challenging her, because that's what's going to bring her to the next level. And I do that for other people, regardless of their obstacle. I just have to think and be smart and tune into that as an expert. And that's why I encourage people to reach out, because you can't be expected to connect the minute dots, but you have the lineage, or you have the line to success. That's why I said for you, I'm impressed with your journey. It's much more impressive than me doing little connecting of the dots that for what I was put on this earth to do is a no-brainer. But then as soon as you have that, boom, success. And that's every single person that I've ever come across and worked with.
One thing that I've heard and seen that you've said that is kind of, and I'd love to hear you touch upon this, your why. What gets you out of bed? What gets you fired up? Why are you even, I mean, putting all this time, effort, energy, and love towards making people see themselves in a different light, making people see themselves in the way that you see them, with such love and dignity, and looking at each person with the incredible empathy and compassion that you do, that, like you said, that change that you ultimately see in other people, that's the change that inspires you. For you in your life, you've undergone so many changes. How have some of those changes in your life continued to keep you going?
Listen, I love being a human. I love the human condition. There's so much judgments right now, especially in the spiritual world, which I do feel a part of, is like, oh, there's a higher self. Or when religion comes into play in this country, which has wreaked havoc to a degree, a dangerous degree. It's like you're still looking way above what this generous gift is, to wake up and have a body, to eat, to drink a cold glass of water on dry lips. Like all of these minute human experiences I crave, and I never want it to end. So every single day I wake up and I'm just so grateful that I'm able to walk. And listen, I'm in pain. I was a contortionist. I'm 43 years old. People that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s, as we age, will relate. Sometimes tying up my own shoe hurts, but then I'm like, oh, thank God it hurts. Thank God I own 43 years of my life that has gotten me to the point where I can have a check mark of being like, oh, now I feel this. So that love for the human condition is what I think shifts a lot of people into enjoying and being grateful for the movement potential that they have on all fronts. And that's what I can say about, and sometimes that's judged again in the spiritual community because I'm stuck in this human form, but that's what makes me also appealing into the fitness industry, which typically is all about the physical. It's about how much protein do you need, how much carbs and all that. But then again, with me being vulnerable and being a part of this journey as you are, sometimes when I'm have a project or a gig or I energetically by the change of season, I have more energy to work out. You're going to see it in my body and you'll see a six pack. And then now during pandemic, like people are not alone. Like, although they hate when I do all that stuff, but then I'm like, but look at the difference and what, how that would affect me from what it was before. Yes. I put on underwear and I have a 2-inch flap of skin that I can pull over my panties. And people are like, oh, okay. So like, I'm passionate about all that stuff too, but I'm loving it. And I loved the carbs and the spaghetti that I've had that gone into that. And I'm not going to feel guilty about it whatsoever. And if I have another fit physique goal or whatever, I'll do it. But in the meantime, I'm good. And I love each and every day as a human.
Craig, so I wanted to dive into one of the main reasons why I wanted, again, I'm so humbled that you've taken some time to come on Living as You, is because I've tried to identify the people in my life who I've seen and essentially live as themselves, live authentically as themselves every day. And as you've touched upon, that is one of the hardest things to do in society, especially with all the societal messages. How do you live as your authentic Craig Ramsey?
Yeah, I try and remember and revisit like when I was your age and younger. There's so much insecurity that exists that I can relate to at different stages of my life. And even again, currently, I think it's always a good reminder to check in with loved ones in your life. Hopefully people have that. And that's the beauty of social media. And especially my intent with social media is for me to reach out to people if they don't have a loved one and to remind them that they're special and they're good and they're wonderful and capable of making change in their life and in society. That's necessary. And also doing little things that are going to bring joy and shift me. Like sometimes I'll pay attention to a warm shower or eucalyptus, like get some fresh eucalyptus does it for me, or a lemon. Like I'll surprise my taste buds with just dousing a huge lemon in like 2 inches of water. I'm like, whoa. And just shocking my system and putting things into motion, which is part of the program, as you know, that I offer people that wakes them up, if you will. Because most times when I get insecure or I'm down, it's because of being in stuck in a place. And I need to figure out how to get out of that. And again, that's why I express people to take to social media for positivity and reassurance, because almost always if someone reaches out and says, I'm struggling, I'm really going through it, you're going to be bombarded and should be bombarded with a whole bunch of motivation, because people do care. I really do believe people are good out there.
Right. It seems to me in all the conversations we've had and everything that you've shared today, that vulnerability is such a key piece and a cornerstone to allowing you, like you've said, to be your authentic self and to embrace those moments when you're struggling. Is there something you think about every day, whether it's a life mantra or a specific value centered on your heart, or something you that keeps you grounded in those moments that allows you to reach out to people or to recognize, you know what? Something's off. I'm feeling this emotion, and that's not usually how I'm feeling.
I feel like this chess game of life has us playing a game, and I fall into that. And when I catch myself falling into that, I'm easily able to shift out of it, because it really doesn't matter. If someone ghosted me for whatever reason, who cares? It's up to me to text back and say, I feel ghosted, or whatever I am feeling in my heart. And if I connect with that, it usually puts me on a good path. And also, I'm not going to win over everyone. This whole, in my opinion, this world is set up not for complete enjoyment. It's set up for you to align with what's going to resonate with you, which is why there's a part of me that is slightly detached from the harshness of what's going on with everything in the world right now, is because it's forcing us to have a protective pod. My pod is pretty large, and I'm so grateful for that. But I put it out there for that to happen too. And just for people to connect with you, because you are born with a good heart. You are born with good intent. Now, if you're you know, supporting someone or you directly don't support equality or things like that, I have a very difficult time telling those people that you deserve to have a great body with my help, or Brandon cutting your hair. You know, you're going to look atrocious and you deserve to.
Totally.
You know, but that's just, again, isolating the worlds that we live in. But I have to still be kind and generous and understand that all people are on their path. And hopefully, if they do connect, it's going to be good. The outcome is always going to be good.
Craig, you just said something that I've been talking to Mary Ruth, my great aunt Mary Ruth, is establishing a little bit of energetic space between you and those people who maybe you don't vibe with, or those people who have very differing beliefs in general, or do things in this world that you find in conflict with your own values and morals. How have you been able to do that? Because that is a very delicate thing to do. It takes practice. And as I've been doing that now for about 6 weeks after talking to Mary Ruth, I still find myself sometimes getting sucked in.
I have not mastered that. Let me begin with that. And I don't know if it's possible to, but I guess the techniques that I have, and it's really quite challenging because I even have family members, very close family members, during this pandemic that are making decisions that worry me for them, their kids, etc. And the very direct person in me wants to just call it out right away. And especially if I've already established what my opinion is. And sometimes I find I have certain techniques of delivering that. And I, even when it's not asked for, like, I'll be like, well, you're not asking my opinion. And then they'll be like, no, well, what is your opinion? And then I'm like, well, my opinion is. So then I feel a little more confidence once I've already established what my opinion is, which is basically boundaries, right? And so if someone crosses that, or if we don't feel comfortable with it, then that just means it's my responsibility to set my boundaries, which is space, and not disrespectful space. Like, again, I have family members that reach out. I don't think it's appropriate for them to call me right now because I'm in a very emotional place about something. And I know I'm going to create a distraction of drama that doesn't need to be there. So that's what I think I'm working on still as a human. But I definitely, the older I get, the more, I guess, less game playing, I'm gamifying, if you will, my life I'm doing in my relationships. How do you deal with that?
That's a great question. So I think it comes down for me, Craig, like you beautifully mentioned, is and it starts with acknowledging. It starts with acknowledging when I'm around someone there, I'm starting to get sucked back into some thinking patterns. Mm-hmm. One thing for me is literally just to stop and say, okay, there's something off here. Even if I don't know what it is, it's that first moment to say, or okay, when you're getting a text or a call from a family member and you're like, something's off. I don't know what it is. Recognizing that and just being willing to say, okay, in this moment, I don't even know what's off, but boom, something's off. Let's just stop. Acknowledging. And then number two, addressing it. Really sitting, like you, whether it's you talking to Brandon about this, whether it's you calling Mary Ruth, me talking to my dad. And then number three, Craig, I love this, the kind of the acknowledge, address, and then attack. I'm going to attack this with the ultimate confidence, dignity, and self-love that I deserve to bring to this. You completely hit that head on. I think the first thing for me, at least, is just stopping and saying, okay, time out, T. We're taking the time out here to acknowledge what the heck is going on.
I'm Canadian, born Canadian. I now became America's newest citizen a couple of weeks ago, right?
Congratulations. Congratulations, Craig.
Thank you. And I'm really proud of it because I have established myself so much here. And I learned a lot with the naturalization process here and how beautiful America is and the potential that exists here. But being Canadian, like growing up in Canada, I can tell you the general feeling of the country is justice for all, and that your rights aren't more important than your neighbors. And here, I think the whole freedom of speech thing has gone astray. Where I just ask people, I'm like, please, and this is what I do for myself is, are your boundaries or are your opinions affecting others? And if they are, I really want you to look at why that is and why you think that however the situation is taking away from you, and you need to have it and have someone else have less than. Because again, abundance is not limited. So most of the issues and problems and conflicts that I have are because I see people not taking care of others appropriately.
I think, Craig, going off that, the whole idea of polarization and in certain circumstances, I think it can become very easy to just be so locked in on your bubble and kind of throw away that empathy, as you just discussed.
I have a very unique responsibility with this whole reality TV business. You know, everything that I've been a part of has been real because I think that it has this kind of reputation of being manipulated or fabricated. And like my own shows are very authentic. And a show that Brandon and I both appear regularly on, as friends of the cast, in particular, friends of MJ from Shaw's of Sunset. Shaw's of Sunset is one of the most dramatic reality shows out there. And so even with us talking about this, I want to be crystal clear because boundary setting, for me, transfers over to even that show. And everything that is me, when I'm there to protect the just, you know, what's justice for all, like my tweets, even when I say, and I think that there's a fake account by one of the cast members that has gone enabled for years. And I'm like, Reza, is this is you? And the fans are like, what? And like even Destiny the other day, when she in particular was trying to attack Mercedes, and I'm like, you know what, I have boundaries with that, because when someone goes to the point of physical attributions, like she called her a hefter, or what's the phrase, it's away from me because I don't even have that in my vocabulary anymore, heifer, like a cow. And I just think that stuff is cruel. Mm-hmm. So in that instance, there was a tweet that was out there that's like, why is Mercedes keep texting during the reunion? And anyone that ever watches Shaw's is going to appreciate all this. And I tweeted that she's texting me to get her another coffee so she can stay awake every time Destiny talks. And I tagged Destiny so that she could see that, because I'm certainly not going to allow that kind of bullying to happen. And that's harmless in my opinion, but it's also letting someone know that they're not going to get away with that because the boundaries are set. And I'm trying to set the boundaries for the collective, if you will. So I don't want people to listen to this podcast and to make a judgment that I'm holier than thou and all of that. But I try and find to have a balance, because we all have to do that. We're all going to be challenged with family and community and social media and all of that. But I connect with my heart and I connect with what's justice for all.
And what you just said is you take that higher perspective, looking at things with that, with the lens in, because again, it's so easy every day to get focused on your own life. And something I've had to work on and will work on my whole life is really kind of removing myself from the situation, as you just did in that situation, that example you just gave, to say, okay, here are my thoughts, here are my emotions, here are my opinions, But what is going to bring everyone together or ultimately contribute to the collective justice, like you said? And so I applaud you and just say, keep going.
Again, I'm on my journey as well. I'm happy to assist anyone out there that feels like they need me to connect the dots for them, which I've professionally done for decades. And one thing that I'll say, because I do this goes into you having closing statements, is I try to avoid having the last word. I love to, like, even with the tweeting or anything like that, Destiny's rebuttal of Chasse Away, I want people to have that. My ego isn't involved with it. And that's something, even with the training that I do, the last movement and the last message and all that has to be my clients. They're the most inspiring people. So please leave us with something that is so inspiring that you have done for me and countless others over the at least 4 years that I've known you.
Craig, those are words to live by right there. And I'll end with a quote from Craig Ramsey, something I found a couple weeks ago. You said, "Hey, Craig, everything I do in life comes from the heart." I think that couldn't be more the truth when I've talked to you these last 4 years and in our conversation today. So,
Craig, and biceps.
And biceps, come on. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. You are an incredible friend, mentor, and just someone that I feel so blessed to have in my corner. I'm myself. And just can't wait to talk again soon.
We will.